Through Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. Sitting in his living room one evening, a father was wondering what time it was. Knowing his small son was in the kitchen, we need to change the slide there once, thanks. Knowing his small son was in the kitchen, where there was a large clock on the wall, he yelled out, he said, "Bobby, what's the little hand on?" After a brief pause, Bobby said with some remorse in his voice, "A chocolate chip cookie." The boy thought he had been caught doing something he was not supposed to do. Bobby's response came from guilt. Guilt saturates the human condition. There we go. Go to the next one. Thank you. And why does guilt saturate the human condition? Because the human condition is one that has rejected God and what God has desired for us, his creation. In this day and age, we feel fine, just fine, partitioning off our lives into the religious and the non-religious. That is, we're just fine to leave God out of our daily living and only acknowledge his word for us when we need it, or when it's convenient for us, or when we want to blame someone when things are bad. When the earthquake and the tsunami hit Japan a few years ago, that became one of those times when people who might not otherwise do so turned to God. And yet, even in the face of such an event, we still like to think of ourselves as in control and able to leave God out. Matthew was in the sea around Japan when that happened. Fortunately, he was in a submarine. They hardly felt it. However, one of the news reports that I read said this: technologically advanced Japan is well prepared for earthquakes, and its buildings can withstand strong jolts, even the trembler that took place on Friday, which was the strongest the country had experienced since official records were started in the late 1800s. What was beyond human control was the killer tsunami that followed. The assumption seems to be that humans are in control. Just because we can build buildings that can tolerate an extremely strong earthquake. And yet, is that assumption true? Are we, quote, in control? Heavens, we can't even control our own tongue, let alone the forces of nature as God has arranged them. And not only has God arranged the forces of nature in such a wondrous way, those same forces have been groaning under the weight of sin since we were, quote, in control on the day we disobeyed God's one command, the day we chose to sin. In Romans 8, 19 through 22, it speaks of creation being in bondage to decay and longing for liberation. It also says this: we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And what has put it under such pains and bondage? Why is creation under such a curse? We read about that in the Old Testament lesson today. God says to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you." And there it is. Because of Adam's sin, the earth bears the curse. Because of Adam's sin, we are like Bobby in our opening story. We've been caught with our hand in the cookie jar. And the stain of sin is what permeates all of life, our life, and all of creation. And what was Adam's sin? Again, God makes it plain when he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. The woman was deceived. Adam was not. He just chose to not listen to the voice of God. Remember when we played Simon Says? He chose to follow after the deception of Satan that had lured his wife into disobedience by not obeying what God had told him. Adam's sin is pure disobedience. He refused to listen to what God had told him. Back in 1984, an Avianca Airlines jet crashed in Spain. Investigators who studied this tragic thing made a sad and very eerie discovery. The black box, the cockpit voice recorder, revealed that shortly before the fatal impact, a shrill computer-synthesized voice from the plane's automatic warning system told the crew repeatedly, "Pull up, pull up, pull up." The Spanish pilot thought the system was malfunctioning and snapped to this American-made machine, "Shut up, gringo," and he switched the warning system off. Just moments later, the plane crashed into the side of the mountain. Everyone on board was killed. Because of his refusal to listen to the word of warning, everyone died. That is what has happened to us. We have the stain of Adam's refusal to listen to God that saturates our human condition and all of creation with death. Yes, Eve was deceived by the voice of the serpent, but Adam disobeyed the voice of God, and that is why sin is passed on from father to child. Because of that, Jesus was born sinless. Yes, his mother was sinful, as we all are, but Jesus did not inherit sinfulness because his father was not Joseph or any other human, but the Father in heaven working through the word of the Holy Spirit in Mary. The word of God to Mary brought about her pregnancy. That's also why Jesus is known as the Word made flesh. But coming back around to today's lessons, St. Paul, in the portion of Romans read today, said this, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous." We have in these words the confirmation that it was Adam's disobedience that made us sinners. But we also have in these words the hope of the gospel. Go ahead to the next slide. The one man Paul refers to in the case of Adam, in the case of the first Adam, and the second one man is the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Now that title, the second Adam, is applied to Jesus because he, like the first Adam, began his earthly life without sin. And like the first Adam, Jesus also faced the temptation of Satan to disobey the voice and the command of God. That's what we read about in the gospel lesson today. Jesus said to Satan, with the first temptation that was put before him, "It is written," read this with me, "it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is what supplies us with all that we need. So says Jesus today. But that is where the first Adam failed. He failed so badly that following his disobedience, Adam tried to cover his newfound nakedness and shame using fig leaves. Again, listen to the Old Testament lesson. "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Read this also. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Do you notice the first question that God asks? Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Again, it has to do with the power of word. God knew that they had violated his word, that they had violated his word to them. And with his question, he drives home the point that it is his word alone that they were to have listened to and obeyed. And what was their reaction to God's question? Where are you? Remember, just like little boy Bobby, out came the very first embarrassing words ever spoken. I was afraid, so I hid. We are still trying to hide from God. We are still, like Adam, afraid of God because of our disobedience. And like Adam tried to cover himself with the work of his own hand, sowing fig leaves, God knew that that wasn't good enough. It wasn't going to last. So, go to the next one, please. Yeah. God sacrificed the life of one of his creation in order to cover the sin and shame of man's sin. To cover Adam's shame properly, God had to shed blood on that day. The last line of the lesson says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. To make a garment of skin, you had to kill an animal. So God sacrificed the life of one of his creation in order to cover the sin of man. The book of Hebrews reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. And so God shed the innocent blood of his creation to properly cover man's sin. And he did so yet again with the second Adam, Jesus Christ, sacrificing his holy, precious blood on the cross of Calvary. In doing that, all the guilt of our sin is forever wiped away. It is covered for all time. In his obedience, Jesus saved us. Because of the second Adam, we need not fear or hide from God anymore, do we? Remember the words in the epistle. Read this also, please. So also, through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. And that we are. We are made righteous through the one man, Jesus Christ, who was obedient in our place. In the gospel lesson, Jesus obeyed the command of God the Father and refused to be led astray by the voice of Satan's temptations. As we go through Lent, go to the next one, please. As we go through Lent and ponder the suffering of Christ and the cross of Christ and the cost of our righteousness, that he paid in love, we do well to give thought to the voices we listen to in our lives. Even in the midst of tragedy and great loss and suffering, we are called to compassion by the voice of God. We are called to listen to the voice of God. We are not called to despair or disobedience. Remember that though creation groans and suffers under the weight of sin as we do, God in Christ has won the victory over sin, death, and the devil through Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Sorry. There will be battles. There will be battles that we lose. There will be losses that we suffer in this war of our making under sin. But God has spoken his promise. His voice has assured us that the victory is won, and we need not fear the battle. We remain hopeful and confident in God's word. the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, our second Adam, and our Redeemer. In His name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.